Miss church. Thought about you guys often, but had a wonderful trip. But it's just nice to be back in the house of the Lord.
Thank you.
So yeah, we've had a wonderful time, but you know, it's always nice to return back home. So, and as you see, I'm not Jim. He has a prior engagement, so they asked me if I would fill in, and I said sure. Okay, you know, Calvary Chapel, I love the way they outline their teaching. You go, when you start a book, you finish that book, you go chapter to chapter, verse by verse. And it's something we're going to study today in Jude, because what it does is it stops false teaching, because you can't take it out of context. And Jude is going to bring some of this out in the passage, that there's a lot of false teachers today. And Pastor Jim, one of the things he wants from his associate pastors is to study, to rightly divide the word of truth, and pray about it and seek God's face. So I found over the years, because I belong to other churches over the years, that they would do topicals. Let's say marriage for a month, and they'd just teach on marriage and other things. But the problem is they skip a lot of the book by doing that. So God's called us to a higher standard as the body of Christ. There's nobody in America that should say, I can't get a hold of a Bible. All right, I can tell you at home, I probably by myself have 7 or 8 of them, about every translation you can imagine, study Bibles. Gaylene sees some of them, she goes, well, you got a lot of these saints. And then with modern day technology, with computers and all that, you can read the Bible in any translation you want. There's a lot of good translations out there. So what I'm trying to say is we have an obligation as born-again Christians to understand what God calls us for. It is our job, not the pastor's job, the associate pastor, to have you spiritually grow. To spiritually grow, you have to read this book. I cannot help you there. And if you don't want, and you're saying, well, I'm busy, then pick you up a DVDs or something with the Bible on it, listen to it to work on your way back from work. But there's a lot of ways that you can get fed and feed yourself. But this is something Jude is going to talk about, is false teachings and stuff, people that entered the church, in the early church. But this is something that keeps going on today. We'll discuss some of them, but to keep yourselves from going astray or falling away, it helps if you're studying God's word time and time again. Even as a young Christian, I probably read the Bible through 3 times from front to back, just trying to figure out anything. I was so clueless that I wanted to read. But then when somebody that had a false teaching would come up and they'd say something to me, I understood that that was wrong. I said, well, that can't be right. And I know part of it was the Holy Spirit giving me discernment to know that wasn't the truth. But I knew that I was seeking God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might. And because of that, God never let me go astray. See, God loves you more than life itself. He proved that on the cross. So that's not up to debate. But the problem with the church today, there's a lot of bad teachings out there, and people just fall under. And, you know, when I talk to a lot of Christians, they can't name the New Testament, let alone any book of the Old Testament. And all of it's very important for our growth, maturity, to strengthen us and keep us from going astray. Now, I'm kind of ashamed to say this, but it even taught me about marriage. I didn't know how to love my wife. I love my parents with all my heart. But they weren't really good role models. I was raised in a violent alcoholic household. There's a lot of screaming back and forth. And so when I got saved, how do I love my wife? And so I had to look at godly leaders. And the most of the ones I found that way were the pastors. I would watch how the pastor would treat their wives and their kids and how they carried themselves. And then I remember going to, back then they had Ed Cole and he had Maximum Manhood. And I went to a Maximum Manhood conference, and I went to Promise Keepers, everything trying to build me up to be a better man, a better husband, a better father. And the only way you're going to get that is by the Word of God. The world has a lot of bad examples. You know, the example I had for you older people would probably be Archie Bunker. Not a very healthy way to have a marriage. All right? So what I'm telling you today is be careful. Be careful. Be careful who you sit under. Be careful who you listen to. All right? Never accept what I say is completely true. Study for yourself. All right? But that's one of the things that has always bothered me was when I read James and said, be not many masters, you will receive a greater condemnation. I understand my accountability before God is a lot higher than anybody else. And it used to bother me every time I said, probably it still does. I want to make sure that I can divide this word truthfully when I bring it to you so there's no confusion and that when I get held before God, that he'd say, well done. Amen. So to keep confusion with Judas Iscariot, the early English translations went to Jude. Jude, Judas, and Judah all basically mean the same, means praise, all right? But his real name would have been Judas, but they went with Jude so people wouldn't get confused reading it and saying, oh, here's Judas Iscariot, now he's got a book. So that's why the early translations did that. Don't get too carried away on that. His brother was James, was the leader of the church of Jerusalem. James was not the apostle James. Yep, the apostle James, we'll see down here, he actually died early on in the church. But who this James is, let me give you a reference of how they worked history. If, because they didn't have time and dates, okay, December 12th, 2024 or whatever, they would say, during the time of King Herod. That would give you a time frame. So I could say, in time of President Biden. You see how that time frame? But you always spoke about the leader. So you'll see in the scriptures a lot of times that Paul said, when I went to Jerusalem, I met with James and the brethren. Well, why did he mention James? Because James was the early, let's say, pastor to speak, in the church of Jerusalem. So everybody would know that James was the person there to speak. So you got a time frame. Jude here wrote this after, of course, after the death of Christ. They say about 65 AD. So understand, to understand a book in the Bible or what they're talking about, there's a couple things you want to ask yourself. Who are they talking to? What's the purpose of the letter? That helps. All right? Okay, this is Jude. What was his concern? It was for the church. It was for you and me. And this applies today as well as it did 2,000 years ago. All right? So he wrote this letter to make sure that happened. Neither James nor his brother Judas or Judah or Juden believed in Jesus as the Messiah while Jesus walked the earth. It was later after the resurrection that we know that these two came to Christ. I don't know if it was in the upper room experience at the Holy Ghost at Pentecost. I don't know what it happened. But we know that both of them got converted. So on their earthly lives, they didn't, if you read the scripture, they would always tell Jesus, well, if you are who you say you are. But later in life, we know they gave their lives to Christ. But Jude, he doesn't boast of being Jesus' brother or half-brother. But he boasts about being a bondservant, someone who is property of another person. And believe it or not, that's what we're called to be. We're called a bondservant. What does that mean? You've been bought with a price. It cost Jesus Christ his blood to purchase you. So you've been bought with a price. So the best way to do this in the Old Testament, if there was a servant that loved his master, master treated him well, and he never wanted to leave his master's house, he would tell the master, and he'd go up to a doorpost or something, they'd put an awl on their door, and they'd poke a hole in the door, and he would become a slave to him forever. It's called the bondservant. So Jude in this, he is saying, I am no more than a bondservant. I've been bought. I owe my life. I owe my salvation. I owe everything I have to the Lord Jesus Christ. Which is interesting to me because thinking my brother, it's like, ooh. But Jesus was perfect, even in his earthly walk. There's some really fascinating things in here. But the neat thing about Jude, instead of saying, hey, I'm the half-brother of Jesus, he said, I'm a bondservant. It shows you true humility. True humility. He wasn't going to say, hey, I'm Jesus' half-brother. Who are you? You see what I mean? Instead, he said, look, I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ. I thought this was kind of cute. If you're going to pronounce Judah in Hebrew, it'd be Yehuda. And you wonder where in Star Wars they got all those funny names. So when I read it, I go, that's kind of funny. Anyways, we're going to start on the book of Jude because the pastor didn't start another book. So they said, start wherever you want. And I figured, well, if I start in Jude, just one chapter, I can finish the whole book in one night. So that's my goal tonight. So let's see what it says. It says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James. Okay? To those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. Okay. I'm going to point this out again. The Apostle James died early in the Bible. James was John the Divine, or John, what's the other name? John the beloved disciple. John who wrote John the Gospel, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. This was his brother. He was beheaded. And we'll find that in Acts. It said it was about this time that King Herod, Acts chapter 12, arrested some who belonged to the church. Intending to persecute them, he had James the brother of John put to death with the sword. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. So that's how we rule out which James it is. We know that James the apostle or disciple, whichever way you want to do it, he was executed early on in the church. He was executed for his faith, his belief in Christ. In America, we don't have that problem a whole lot here. But if you look over the world, you will see that happens a lot, especially in third world countries or in Saudi Arabia or Iran. A lot of those places, for being born again Christian, they will behead you. Nothing new under the sun. All right? Okay. Jesus' brothers. I'm going to show you part here where Jesus, you can see that the brothers didn't really follow Christ in his ministry. But it says, when Jesus had finished his parable, he moved on from there. Coming to his hometown, he began to teach the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? They asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Speaking of Joseph. Isn't this mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they looked at him, took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town and in his own house. And he didn't do many miracles for their lack of faith. So the reason I pointed this out, who James and Judas was, is because you have, I'm going to say, the Catholic Church will tell you he had no brothers and no sisters. They believe that after the Virgin gave birth to Jesus, she had no relationship with Joseph, and she remained a virgin forever. But that contradicts Scripture. She was a human being like me and you, a wonderful human being. Don't take me wrong. She was wonderful for God to pick out that lady at that time out of all the women in the world. Pretty impressive if you ask me. But then we can already see a teaching now that doesn't line up with doctrine. We can see a teaching where the Catholic Church says, nope, we're all called brothers and sisters in Christ. The problem is then you got to take out some passages and pitch them away. Does that make sense? So it is important to us to understand the Scripture, because a little bit of a lie is a lie. You either have the whole truth or you really don't have anything. So as believers in Christ, we need to know the whole thing. All right? So let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just praise you and thank you. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, Father, who's the author and finisher of our faith, Father. We thank you for what he did on this cross, Father. And we ask now today that you would, we invite your presence, the Holy Spirit, to be with us, Father, to teach us all truth, Father God. For your word says the truth would set us free. So we pray your hand tonight on this study in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, then he goes on in verse 2. Mercy, peace, and love be yours abundance. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. Eager means haste, earnest, diligent. Truth is valuable because truth sets you free. Jude said, you know, I had this hunger. I want to write to you. And I think what he did is decide to write a smaller letter and get it out as quick as possible. You'll find out that Jude has a lot of teachings that Peter, 2 Peter talked about also. Because it infected the church. It hurt the church. It was abundantly. Satan never quits. And that's why I tell people, read the book for yourself. I cannot help you there. All I can do is help share. But in John 8:32, he says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth of Jesus as the Son of God, his death on the cross, and the resurrection. For us to be called by God, set apart for him, and the hope of his return, of course, and grace through faith. That's what the church should stand for. That's what we believe. Anything outside of that would be considered heresy. Now, I'm going to point out these, and you can look it up for yourself, but let's take the Jehovah's Witness. They say Jesus Christ was not the Son of God. He was a prophet. We know that to be a lie. That in things like that came into the early church. And the problem with it is they took a lot of people away. Today, we are having the same heresies as they did by then. Satan will use any tactic to get you off base. We need to be grounded in God's word, and you're going to face troubles in this life. We all do. There's going to be trials, tribulations. We understand that through Scripture. But what will get you through that is to stand on the promises of God. This is our hope. This is what we stand for. It's not always easy, but I can tell you there's no better way to be. I've been through a lot in my own short time on this planet, but God see me through every trial and tribulation I have been through. It's not always been easy. It's not always been fun. But I noticed that through all things, I was able to grow through those things because in my weakness, he became strong, and I had to rely on him to make it through. So Jude is saying, hey, contend for the faith. Stay on track. So what does the church believe? The same thing that they believed 2,000 years ago. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He rose from the dead. He died on the cross for you and me. There's no other name under heaven that we must be saved through Christ. These are the things that he's talking about. Stand on the word. Stand on that faith. Don't let anybody knock you off. So we got to diligently seek after him because it's not going to get any easier for the church. I promise you. Satan has never quit through any of the scripture. He's our adversary, but God has overcome. That's what we need to focus on as a church. So Jude said, hey, entrust in God's word. We have God's word before us. Read your word. I cannot help you there. I can help you in Bible study. If you have a question, you can call me. If I don't know the answer, we'll call Jim. But we are all in this thing together. But of course, none of us are perfect. That's where grace comes in, through our faith in God. God knows we're not perfect. He knows we're going to goof up and stumble. But he's always there to pick us up if we continue to seek him. I've watched a lot of people that I thought were a lot stronger than me in the Lord. They had held titles when I was just a teacher. I thought they'd never fall away, and several of them I talked to don't even attend church no more. It's a perfect place where Satan wants you. There is no hope outside of Christ. So Jude is warning, stay in the faith. Continue to seek. Be on your guard. Amen? All right. Verse 4. For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our sovereign and Lord. Think about that. Is there any religions out there saying you can be married to more than one person? Absolutely. It doesn't line up with Scripture. Husband but one wife, correct? We line up with Scripture. So what they do? They slipped in secretly. People that come through the door aren't going to say, I'm here to divide you. I'm here to conquer you. It doesn't work that way. They sneak in silently. They use grace for a reason to sin. And believe it or not, I have met people like this. And when I tell them, wait, time out. Let's call it sin. You can't judge me. And I tell them, judgment starts in the house of God. If you're a child of God, repent. And they get angry and mad and yell and scream. Next thing you know, I've been in the pastor's office a couple times. Not this pastor, but a previous pastor. And I told him I will never back down from the Word of God. If I spoke the truth, it was only out of love to tell them they're wrong in their errors. But it's the first thing that comes up a lot of times is anger and bitterness when you go up to somebody and say, brother, can I share something with you? What you're doing is not right. I had a man leave his wife because he was called to ministry. I go, biblically, that's completely nonsense. How do you think that went over? If you're going to teach the Word of God, Jim expects you to teach the whole Word of God, and I won't apologize for what the Word of God says. But we have to be careful because I don't think it's going to get better. I don't care who's president of the United States. They're not in ultimate control. God is. So anyways, verse 5. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord at one time delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those people who did not believe. The older manuscripts, believe it or not, don't have Lord there. Do you know what the older manuscripts say? Jesus led them people out of Egypt. Interesting, huh? This is why a lot of times, if you look up the New English, what is it, the EVS, anyways, let me see if I got in my notes here. There is a translation out there, and I didn't put, English Standard Version, they have Jesus led them out of Egypt. And that is a fact. I don't have a problem saying that. People get upset at me when I said the God of the Old Testament is God of the New. His name is Jesus. Now, let me give you a bigger picture of this before you get offended by something I say. Jesus was here before time began. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. Who do you think walked in the garden with Adam? It couldn't be the Holy Spirit, it's a ghost. Couldn't be the Father because he is spirit, correct? So if you take those two out, who's left? Jesus. It's simple. I see Jesus all through the scripture. I see him all through Genesis, all through Exodus. And people look at me and say, well, you can't keep raising him from the dead. He wasn't dead. He's never been dead. The body might have died, but he's never been dead. He's always been alive, and he's always been in control. So understand when you read the scripture, if someone wants to tell you, well, the God of the Old Testament, God of the New, that I get this all the time, one seems mean, one seems nice. Well, one you're under law, one you're under grace. And can I tell you something? God only knows the two. So either you're under grace and you have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. If you don't receive him, he's going to judge you according to the law, and you're going to have to stand on your own righteousness. I need a Savior. My righteousness doesn't cut it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I have to have a Savior. All right? So understand that us as Christians, that Jesus is the God of the Old Testament with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. You can see him working together as one everywhere. All right? Who do you think appeared before Moses when Moses ran up, Abraham, and ran up and dropped to his knees and said, Lord, that word there is supreme in authority. He said, let me get food for your belly and water for your feet. It's not the Holy Ghost again. It's not the Heavenly Father. It's Jesus. So Jesus is all the way through the scripture. People just don't want to believe it that way. But that's something we understand, that Jesus has been with the Father since the beginning of time. He's the one that died on the cross. I always wonder how that conversation went, because, God said he was crucified from beginning of time. So I'm wondering if the Father said, well, someone's going to have to die on the cross. He said, sure, no problem. I always wonder how that conversation went. Because if it was just one of you, I believe he would have went on that cross. That's how much he loves you. But make no mistake who he is. He is God. So if someone says he's a prophet, they're wrong. Does that make sense? So as I go on tonight, I just want you to keep that thought. There's another scripture that says not everybody will see God. And that's talking God the Father. Everybody will see Christ because he will do the judgment. I remember someone once asked me, when you get to heaven, what do you want to see more than anything? And I said, God the Father. I want to see the glory of God the Father. I know I'll weep when I see Jesus, but I want to see God the Father. Okay. So, as salvation goes, I want to read just Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, right, he's in charge, he's supreme, right? And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. That's what the church believes. If you believe in Christ, and that word believe doesn't mean lip service. We seem to have got that wrong in the church. I hear guys say, well, I'm saved, it don't matter. It's called lip service. You remember what God told the Jewish people? They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. What do you think God's going to say to somebody that gives him lip service and is supposed to be his bride? Get away from me, I never knew you. It's a harsh reality. And I try to tell that to people that I see who are walking contrary to the word. Go ahead, Denny. Correct, we're under grace. Yep. Reject him. Correct. So the question was that who's going to be judged, that the church would not be judged, the Christians, or let's say the bride of Christ. Can I break it down that easy? Those that are sold out for Jesus will not be judged. He'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. How many of your sins have been forgiven?
All.
See how that works? But someone that rejects Christ, that is the eternal sin. And, you know, I've heard people say, well, I don't want God in my life now. I'll do it later. You don't know when later comes. You don't. So we as Christians, we got to understand that that word believeth means to put one's spiritual hope and trust in Christ. And the part everybody misses out of that word believe it, and it says, and to commit. It is a commitment. It is a personal relationship that you build with Christ. Nobody else can build that relationship but you and him. Does that make sense? All right. Okay, so let's go on to verse 6. And the angels who did not keep their position of authority, but abandoned their proper dwelling. These he kept in darkness, bound with chains for judgment on the great day. What great day is that? That's judgment day. When Jesus comes back and says, all right. You know, a lot of people ask me, where will America be when Israel's going through this? I said, well, they're not going to help out a whole lot because Israel will have only one Savior. And he doesn't wear an American flag. All right? It's Jesus. He's the only Savior Israel will ever have. He's the only Savior they had in the Old Testament and in the New. People ask me, well, how people were saved in the Old Testament? By having the right relationship with God. Moses had a relationship with God. Joseph had a relationship with God. David had a relationship with God. Did you ever notice that David wasn't a perfect man?
Yes.
Sometimes I struggle with that. Okay? Now, as I say that, I want you to understand this too. So please don't take me wrong. But I want you to understand that everybody's at a different growing stage. So I'm a little harder on leadership than I'm on someone that's just saved. Does that make sense? If someone that tells me they're a pastor in the church and they're cussing on the phone, when they get off the phone, me and him is going to have a conversation. All right? I recently had this with a guard. He had not of this world tattoo on his arm, so I heard him say a couple foul words one day, and one day he had to work with me in one-on-one. I love it when they work on me one-on-one because I got a couple hours to preach with you. And so I said, I see you got that tattoo now. He goes, yeah. I go, are you born again? He goes, yes. I go, can I then talk to you about something I see that you're doing wrong? He goes, sure. I said, your language. I go, when you tell somebody you're born again, your example of Jesus Christ, and foul what words come out of your mouth, you're putting God in a bad light. And that's not acceptable to God. Understand that. That's called using the Lord's name in vain whenever you put the name of God in a bad light. And he goes, interesting. He goes, well, I really appreciate you sharing that. About 2 hours later, I heard him cursing again. I looked up and said, nothing I could do. I just shared what, you know, you had. But everybody's at a different growing stage. And I guess when God really convicted me of this is when I recently did a study on Jonah. I couldn't believe that boy was saved. I read that thing, I shook my head, and I go, he's a prophet, so he's got to be saved. But his action tells me he's not doing real well, and he's got a lot of maturity. Well, there's the key. There's people at different growth stage. So don't go condemning people, and if they say something that seems contrary to the word, feel free to grab a pastor or yourself. You know the word. You're not intimidated. Say, hey, can I share some of this with you? Never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. All right? So, and fortunately, the last couple weeks I had at my last job, I got to work with every, because we got a new whole guard system in, I got to work with every one of them. But it was kind of funny because I always say, hey, remember, Jesus loves you. And I remember the day I shook all their hands. I said, I don't know if I'm going to be back. I've been pulled off this job. So it was a pleasure meeting you. And one of the guys looked at me. He was an Oriental guy. And he goes, Dwayne. I go, yeah. And he goes, remember, God loves you. And all I could do was laugh. I go, that's funny. That's funny. But that's the only message God gives me for the lost. He has never given me a condemnation message for the lost. Every time I pray, every time I ask God, what do you want me to tell him? I want you to tell them I love them. For God so loved the world. It didn't say the saved. It didn't say the righteous. Didn't say the redeemed. It said God so loved the world. He died for every soul out there. It's the only message he ever gives me for those people. Okay, let's continue. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. Is there any perversion out there in the world today? Is there any perversion that's crept into some places that call themselves churches?
Yes.
All right. So you've seen it. One of the worst ones I heard was a lady I knew was a Jehovah's Witness. She divorced her husband, who was a deacon there, because he was having an affair with several women in that place. I don't know, Kingdom Hall, I don't know what you call it. And because she left him, they excommunicated her, and he kept his position. I'm like, excuse me? And you still want to follow them? Hello? And so we broke out the Bible. We had quite a conversation that day. There's a lot of things in sexual immorality runs through the church through pornography. Satan will use any addiction he can get on you. Alcohol, tobacco, whatever. Now, I know everybody's at a growing stage. You know, it wasn't until I was probably 2 years really seeking God's face that God told me one day that I didn't need tobacco no more. I chewed tobacco for about 15 years. And I remember going to 7-Eleven. I threw away the can. I was going in to buy another can. And God spoke to me. He said, you don't need that no more. So, again, people are in different growing stage. So we don't condemn people just because they walk to the door. You know, the problem with some people, they kind of, if you find out about their sins, we want to throw stones. But aren't you glad God doesn't have a bulletin board up there of ours? Let's not condemn people that walk through the door. Everybody's at a growing stage. God calls us to love them, to help them grow in maturity. But what we got to pay attention to is this stuff is not acceptable in the church. Simply. All right? Okay. So Sodom is where we get the word sodomy. So when people tell me, well, homosexuality ain't in the Bible, sodomy is. Don't know what to tell you. It is there. It says a man shall not lie with a man as he lies with a woman. It is sin. All right? So when I hear people ordaining homosexuals, I got a problem with that. And not just because I know their sin, it's because spiritually they're not at where they need to be. I believe God can break that bondage. I've seen them break that bondage. So I know it can be done. But until that bondage is removed, they probably shouldn't be preaching from any pulpit. Amen? All right. In verse 8, in the very same way, on the strength of their dreams, these ungodly people pollute their own bodies, rejecting authority and heaping abuse on celestial beings. Ungodly people do three things that you can see very easily. They pollute their own body, they have sexual sins, and they reject authority, especially church authority. That's also called gossip. If you're talking bad about your pastor or any pastor in the church, if you're spreading gossip, it's a sin that needs to be dealt with. Plain and simple. It is a sin. I don't know why we can't figure that out. I've been in a lot of churches. I've seen the damage that gossip does to pastors' family, to regular people. It's heartbreaking to know that God has called us to love one another. Yeah, we'll talk bad about one another. Repent. Everybody here is a child of God. Everybody here loves God. Why would we speak anything against about a person of God? Or a man who's made in the image of God, according to James. We got to be careful what we do. The pastor, the elders, the teachers, the leaders do not need any abuse. The pastor's wives don't need any abuse. They're not targets. Unfortunately, I met a man that was in ministry for many years, and he said, when I looked out in the congregation, all I seen is enemies. I said, maybe you ought to step down and walk away and go find love somewhere because you're in a bad position. A bad position. We're all in this together. It's easier to do this loving on one another than judging one another. All right? And if somebody says, Pastor Duane said such and such, come tell me. We'll have a conversation with them. I've noticed when I've confronted people and said, did you hear this? I go, why don't we go pray with them? Oh, no. I just wanted to tell you so you pray with them. I go, that's called gossip. It's about the last time they approached me with stuff like that, and I appreciate it. I just call it how I see it. If I'm concerned about a brother in Christ, let's say Denny, I am going to go up to Denny and say, "Brother, can I pray with you? Is there anything I can do?" And let's say I find him in, all right, Denny, I'm going to just say you lie all the time. Then I'm going to go and I'm going to try to help Denny grow out of that. Does that make sense? And I'm going to love Denny. I'm going to do everything I can. That's what we're supposed to do in the body of Christ. This should be healing grounds. This is called a sanctuary. It's where we come together as a group of believers to worship God, to get in God's presence. That's what we should do in this church. Every time we come to this church. If someone's hearts break, our hearts ought to break for them. Amen? That's what we're called to. Okay. Verse 9, but even the angel Michael, when he was archangel, and that's about the only one we hear in Scripture. I'm wondering if he's going to one sounding that trumpet. He's an archangel. What does that mean? Top dog. Woo-hoo! That's who he is. Now, he ain't over Jesus, yeah. But as an angel, there's the authority. So it says, even the archangel, Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn him for slander, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." He didn't say, "You dirtbag, you fell away from God, you're a slime ball. Who are you?" You see what I'm saying? He said, "Let the Lord rebuke you." He knew what he did. There ain't a doubt in my mind he knew what he did. And you can read more about fallen angels in 2 Peter 2:10. You can read back in Genesis. It's not a perfect picture. I believe this scripture has a little more to do with the two people at the wall. Matter of fact, since I mentioned, let me go there. It's interesting to me that the God of the dead can't find a dead man's body. Think about that. That's always been really fascinating. That's there. I got my own beliefs on that, but I thought it was pretty fascinating. Okay. Yet these people slander whatever they do not understand. Well, that, Pastor Duane, he never wears shoes that tie. Who cares? I don't like bending over and tying shoes no more. It's not that I can't tie. I don't like it. All right? But, you know, they're going to slander people. They're going to go ahead and, you know, judge people. We're called to love one another. That's what we're called to do, all right? I'm not going to slander you. I'm not going to beat you up. I'm hoping to come alongside of you and help you mature, because people in my life have come alongside of me and helped me grow. First church I went to, they taught me that love was more important than anything, and they proved it by their actions. I was so fascinated that my pastor would go down what they call grape patrol. And why they call it grape patrol, because homeless people slept on the grate. Well, that means you smelled like raw sewage. But when you'd go down there and grape patrol, before anybody could have a bowl of soup, they had to give them a hug. That's a wonderful example of loving the lost. All right. Yet these people slander whatever they do not understand, and the very things they do understand by instinct, as in irrational animals do, will destroy them. Woe to them. They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed off for profit into Balaam's error, and they have been destroyed by Korah's rebellion. He mentions three interesting people here, and this is why it's interesting and for you to know the Old Testament, because if you just read that, you'd say, what is this? All right. We understand that Cain killed Abel. He was a murderer. All right? Balaam loved money more than being obedient with God. God said, don't you curse Israel, but he went to get the money anyways. And he went up and God said, don't curse him. But he did it again. Do we have anybody talk about how important money is today in the churches? You ever hear the prosperity preaching? It's just interesting. He's talking about this guy here talking about money. He loved more money than being obedient to God's word. God said, don't do it, and he tried to do it both times. Interesting. All right. Korah's pride and rebellion against the leadership of Moses. If you ever read about that, he said, who are you? We can lead our own family, and all I hear is pride and rebellion and everything. He knew God called Moses. Jealousy will always arise. I've seen it with younger pastors wanting the pulpit. They're all, you know, trying to get in line so they'd be the next to preach. I thought it was a shameful act. To me, I tell them, you need me to speak, I'll speak. You don't, that's fine too. It's not a competition. We're here to love on one another, not to abuse one another. Amen? So remember that. Murder, love of money, and pride and rebellion all were wrapped up in these three things he just spoke of, these three people. Stay away from those three. I told God, you want me to have money? You deal with it, because I ain't chasing nothing but you. I don't chase money. Does that make sense? Keep your eyes on Christ. All right. Okay, these people are blemished at your love feast. Ouch. Very common all throughout the ancient world, including the Romans. They had bathhouses and everything else, and everything under the sun happened. Men would sleep with men regularly. They got rid of their babies. If they didn't like them, they just threw them on the trash pile. So a lot of them babies became slaves. Read ancient Roman. It's pretty disgusting, a lot of things you can find out through history books. Okay. Eating with you without the slightest qualm. Shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind. Autumn trees without fruit, and uprooted twice dead. Fruit tree ain't any good if it doesn't bear fruit?
No.
Are you any good if you don't bear fruit?
No.
Not as a witness. Not as a witness. Fruit of the Spirit is what? If you got love, you pretty well have the rest of them. Can you say love?
Love.
Isn't that the first one, love? This whole book is based on love. God's love for you. God's love for humanity. Love. That's, if you have that, you're going to have some patience, peace, joy. Joy only comes from a right relationship with Christ. I've been without Christ, and I never had any joy. It was only when I received Christ and the Holy Spirit talked to me the first time that I finally had joy. I had people say, why are you a Christian? I always ask them the same thing. And I go, you ever alone all by yourself and you have a loneliness you can't quench? Yeah, that's why. That loneliness is a cross missing out of your heart for you to seek the one and true God. His name is Jesus. That's why I'm born again. When I sought him, that loneliness went away. I had peace. I had joy. Amen? We are to point everybody into the direction of the cross. Jesus is our Savior. Okay. Enoch, the seventh son from Adam, prophesied about them. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all of them of all the ungodly acts they have committed in their ungodliness and of all the defiant words ungodly sinners have spoken against them. These people are grumblers and fault finders. You ever meet anybody like that? You ever meet grumblers and fault finders? It's just as good as they're everywhere. They follow their own evil desire. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. You ever meet people that way? I meet them all the time. Every time a carbon walks up, I'm the best carbon you ever had. I'm like, great, I got another one. But I know that everybody God sends me, he wants me to share Christ with. But careful. Careful who you run with. Careful who you associate with. Careful who you let pour into your lives. Does that make sense? They will sneak in any way they can. I've seen people sneak in people's lives, cause divorce and all kinds of stuff. Don't tell me you're a godly person if you go into someone's house and cause a divorce. Horrible. Horrible. But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times, there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourself up in your most holy faith, how do we build ourselves up in faith? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by what? The Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You can hear it, you can read it, that's how you increase your faith. Got it? He said, build yourself up in the holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Wasn't God merciful to you? I met a lot of people who told me they're atheists. I don't believe it. God said he planned measuring faith in everybody. So I think of it, they just don't know. So I just help share. So God's called me to be a light. I've witnessed to my bosses. I witnessed to everybody. I don't have a problem with that. If God sends them on my job, I am to be a light to them. I am to be a witness to them. Yeah. That's what we're called to be. And no, I am not perfect by any means. But you can hold me to be perfect if I can hold you to be perfect. Is that fair? See how that works? Throw those stones, I try not to. Okay, let's go on. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupt flesh. Careful who you run with. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to our only God and our only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. So you will get people to tell you that Jesus is not the Son of God. They lied. They will tell you there's other ways of salvation. I've heard Oprah Winfrey one day on the show say, what other ways can we be saved? And praise be to God, there was a lady in the audience that was born again and wasn't ashamed to speak up. And she said, there is only one way to be saved, Jesus Christ. And she goes, whoa, 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 we're talking about other way. And she goes, there is no other way but Jesus Christ. And every time Oprah would say something like that, she'd say the same thing. And I said, praise be to God, Jesus is the only way. And I've heard Oprah say from her own mouth that she didn't believe in God. Careful who pours into your life. And I'm not going to ever have anybody tell me how to parent that never have a child or how to love my spouse when they've never been married. You know, she sees me 24/7. She can tell you things I hope to God she never does. Amen? But she's my honey. All right, so keep your eyes on the prize, that's Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes in the Word of God. Keep your hearts open and pray continually. That's from me. Amen? Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, Father. You gave us your greatest gift, Father. How do we repay you? But with our lips, we will praise you and thank you for everything you have done for us, for the salvation.